Take your Bible this morning, if you would, and open it to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, if you would. Open your Bible there to Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin reading down in verse 26 here in just a moment. I'll give you time to find it. Unless it takes too long, then I would just say to look intelligently at whatever page you're at, and we'll be all right, okay? All right, Acts chapter 8. If you're there, look at verse 26. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they came, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I love this portion of Scripture. It is an exciting story to me to read and to consider what it has, you know. And, man, I'll be honest with you. To me, the Bible is an exciting book. An exciting book. Now, you may be sitting there wondering about these fellows that are saying, Amen, amen, to that statement. Because you may think, well, man, I read it, and it's just kind of words on the page. Well, wait a minute. You got to think a little bit, all right? You have to think just a little bit there. And as I consider what's here, I consider the story that's told and what it is God tells us in this chapter. It's just an exciting book. And I'll be honest, there's a ton of preaching and teaching that can be scripturally done from these verses. I've preached other times from them. I think there's a lot of lessons to learn. There's a lot of truths that we can see if we just open our eyes, all right? But this morning, I'm just going to preach what God gave me. And I do mean that seriously. I was studying and considering, Lord, what would you have me? And I mean, the Lord just gave me the outline, boom, boom, boom. And I said, thank you, Lord. All right? I like it when it comes that way. And it's just simple truths that I think can oftentimes be easily overlooked. And I want you to focus with me today on this thought. Just one man. Just one man, all right? You with me? Here we go. Just one man was sent. Just one man was sent. Notice there, verse 26, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Just one man. We said, well, who else would have been? Well, if you read up further in the Bible, there was James and John, or Peter and John, that came down to Samaria, and God sent two that time. But he only sent one this time. The angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, you know, God picked him out. God picked Philip to be the man to go south down into the desert. Not an exciting place to go. Now, maybe you enjoy the desert. I don't know. My barber, the guy that used to be my barber, I talked with him, and his favorite place to go on vacation, he'd go to Big Bend country, and he'd take that Jeep and go out four-wheeling, and he said, I like to be where I can see a long ways. And he didn't care to go like to East Texas. He said, trees are in the way. Yeah. Trees are in the way. Well, okay, and there is some beauty to the desert. But I'll be honest with you, I get tired of staring at rocks after a while. Now, I'd like to see some greenery, you know, a little bit. But so God picked just that one man. Just that one man. Can I say this to you? It doesn't take a village. It doesn't take a team to get the job done. It doesn't do it. That one man, Philip, had God on him. That one man, Philip, had God on him. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, he was filled with the Holy Ghost of God. God had put something in him. And only one man was sent because that one man knew what to preach. One man knew what to preach. Now, you got to consider this. Here's the thing that we often overlook when we get to verse 26. If you look at what had been going on in the earlier part of this chapter, all right? Verse 5, for instance, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Man, and revival broke out. They were in the midst of revival. God was using Philip in a wonderful day. Word even got back to Jerusalem. Peter and John, they came down to see and help out and what was going on. Man, people were getting healed. Lives were being changed. And it was amazing what was going on. But it was in the middle of that revival that the angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, hey, I need you. I need you somewhere else. I need you somewhere else. You've been preaching, there's been a revival, and it's going on, and you don't see old Philip saying, well, wait a minute. Could I finish my time here and get the love offering? Not that, all right? Wasn't any of that. Immediately, that one man went down into the desert. Down there. Left a revival. Hey, can I just say to you, don't ever discount the work of just one man. If you're that one man, don't get discouraged, depressed, or distressed, distracted. Just you say, well, it's just me. I'm all by myself. There's nobody to stand with me. Hey, if God only sent one, you know what that meant? That was all that was needed. That was all that was needed. God can do more with one than the world can do with an army. God can do more with that one than the world can do with an army when that one is sold out to him. It was just one man that was sent. But I want you to notice also, it was just one man that was searching. Just one man was searching. We don't know that man's name. We just kind of know what his occupation was. We don't know his name, anything else, you know. He was a eunuch. He worked for the queen of Ethiopia. He was the treasurer. He had charge of all the finances for the queen of Ethiopia. He must have been a trustworthy individual. He must have been what we would say, that's a good man, and you can count on him. But it was just that one man that Philip was told, you go join yourself to him. Amen. Go join yourself. Now, do you read these verses? Do you think about what's going on? Here's Philip sent down from Samaria out into the desert, out into Gaza, and he's standing there, obviously walking along, and he looks up, and here comes a chariot, and the Holy Spirit of God tells him, now go join yourself to that one. Now, how do you do that? I mean, I don't know how they hitchhiked in those days. I don't know if he jumped out in the middle of the road and waved him down, or if he jogged along beside him. Because look what the Bible says. This guy was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading, all right? He was reading, and Philip heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, here's Philip. He's just that one guy. Did he say, hey, wait a minute, stop! What you reading? Now, you ever stop? Here they are. They're out there in the middle of it. And Philip heard him reading. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Man, here they are. They get in a conversation. Do you understand? He said, what are you saying? I'm saying this. There was one man searching. That Ethiopian eunuch was looking for something. He was reading the scripture. He wasn't just reading words. He was thinking about what he read. I work in school. I teach kids. I listen to them read. And they don't listen to themselves read. They don't do it. I can't find the answer to this question. First thing they usually say is, I can't find this question. I say, well, there it is right there. No, I know it's right there. Well, why'd you ask then, all right? There's the question. And, well, I mean, I can't find the answer. I said, okay, let's read. Read. And they'll read it. I said, you see that? I said, read right there. There, you know. I can't find it. I said, okay, read out loud. Read out loud. So they read it out loud, and sometimes it's while they're reading, they go,
yeah, right.
There it is, right there. Hey, you know, sometimes we read, we don't listen to what we read. But I want to tell you, this man, I believe he was listening because I believe he was looking for something. He realized he needed him. There was something he needed. He was reading the Bible. Now, friend, this was a lost man reading the book, okay? You do understand that. Lost man. He was searching for something for his soul. Just one man was sent. Just one man was searching. Now, I want you to notice, Philip didn't just listen and think, I hope he can get some help. I hope he figures it out. No. He asked him, do you need some help? Do you understand what you're reading? What an answer. Look at what the Ethiopian said to him. Look at what he said when he was asked, do you understand? And he said, how, in verse 31, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know, obviously a chariot here is not the way I picture a chariot. I picture a chariot in the kind that old Ben Hur drove in them races. I mean, you know, there's just that little area and you're standing in there and you're lashing out with a whip and they're running around. Well, obviously that wasn't that chariot. Because he said, come sit with me. I mean, okay, you sit on that side and I'll sit on this side. You know, no, there was room to sit. And they discussed as they kept traveling along. Now, he was searching and he asked, do you need some help? Do you understand what it is? No. And that answer, hey, that one man searching found the one man who was sent. Isn't that something? The one man searching found the one man that was sent. Can I just tell you, take a note right here. I believe this with all this within me. I'm convinced that God is interested enough in the individual. In individuals. That if any one individual is searching for the truth, I believe God will get the truth to him. And I don't care where that one is. If he is somewhere down in the dark way in the deepest part of the jungles of the Amazon region, and he's staring up at the stars at night and marveling at who made them with questions, I'll tell you this, I believe God will get the truth to him. I believe God's interested in the individual. I don't believe he's just interested in the masses. He's interested in you. He's interested in that one man that's searching, okay? That one man that's looking for the truth, he's interested in you. Just one man was sent. Just one man was searching. I want to tell you, just one man got saved. Just one man got saved. You say, I say that because, once again, I remind you, Philip had just been in a citywide campaign. Citywide campaign. He was reaching the masses. Many were healed. Many heard. Many changed. There was great joy, according to chapter 8. All of that was there. But that one man got the gospel from the Old Testament. He wanted to know then about being baptized. Hey, that was the Old Testament he was reading. It was the Old Testament that he was reading. You can get the truth from the Old Testament if you want it. If you want it, all right? We're not in that crowd of people today that say, well, we don't use the Old Testament. No, it's still the Word of God. That one man that was sent found the one man that was searching, and that one man got saved. That one man got saved. Now, I said they were continuing on, all right? They were continuing on, and it says in verse 36, as they went on their way, as they went on their way, they're still traveling along, they're talking. I'm supposing somebody else was driving the chariot, I hope. Or the horse said, we know where we're going, we'll just go, all right? And but they were traveling along, and they came to a place, the Bible said, was certain water. And here we are in the Old Testament. Here we are in the Old Testament. This Old Testament fellow reading the Old Testament, been taught and preached Jesus from the Old Testament. And his first question is, hey, here's water. Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? All right. Hey, wait a minute. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament he's in, all right? Old Testament. That one man sent, found the one man was searching, that one man got saved. He said, how do you know it? I know he got saved because Philip baptized him. And you don't baptize folks that are lost. Look, if we get you and run you through the baptistry and you've never been born again, you're just a wet, lost man. Doesn't save you, doesn't help you at all. But that Ethiopian now, he didn't know all the theological terms. But he understood enough, and he believed enough to get born again. Well, had it not been, Philip would not have baptized him. Just one man, though. Just one man. One man was sent. One man was searching. That one man was searching was saved, all right? And notice, the Bible said they went down into the water. They came up out of the water. What do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you, it wasn't a cup. It wasn't a handful. Bible doesn't say Philip took a cup, reached down there and scooped some up. I got to be careful, I'll pour this water out. He didn't just scoop it up and dump it on him. Say, man, you're baptized. I went down into the water. Down in the water. Said, preacher, why are you baptized that way? Why don't we sprinkle? Why don't we just pour? Because to be scriptural, the Bible tells us that baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we baptize, we take that individual that's being baptized and they're placed all the way under the water. All the way under. Ever tell you about the time my dad baptized this lady in an unheated baptistry in the middle of winter? She wanted to be baptized. My dad told her, said, man, we can do it, but that's going to be cold. She said, doesn't matter. I want to be baptized. And this was in Vidalia, Georgia. Had an old the concrete block baptistry. And the water was pumped out of a well right into that baptistry. I just want to tell you, it's in the winter and it's cold. My dad said, I had on these chest waders, and he said, when I got in the water, it was cold to me through those chest waders. He said, and when she started down in that water, it was, because it's cold. He said, but the worst thing, we could only get enough water in there, is about this deep. And my dad said she was the economy packaged woman. She's a pretty good sized lady. And so he went to baptize her. And he said, when I laid her down on that cold water, she said, she just stiffened out. And he said, well, I'm here. If we're going to baptize her, we got to get her under. He said, I just took my hand, put it right there, and shoved her under. He said, but when I did that, she took her arm and slung it back and hit me. Knocked him back against the baptistry. Dad said, everybody in the crowd is doing just what y'all are doing. They were all laughing. But he said, we got her baptized, all right? Got her baptized. All the way under. Why? It's a burial. It's a burial, okay? Death, burial. Got to be covered. Covered. Look, if somebody told you that you could be just sprinkled, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. Biblical baptism is a burial. So here is that, just that one man. Just that one man who was searching, found the one guy that was sent to help him, and that one man got saved. But that's not the end of the story. I want you to look down at verse 39. Verse 39. Take a look at what it says. And when they were come up out of the water, I mean, that's baptistry. They've been baptized out there, just come up, just got out of the water. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Man, he was gone. But I want you to notice what this Ethiopian did. He didn't go, whoa. You know, what spaceship sucked him up? Philip was just, he was gone. He was transported. Yeah, God can do that. But God do it. But I want you to notice, though, what it says. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Hey, just one man was sent. Just one man was searching. Just one man was saved. And just one man shouted, buddy. The Bible said that guy went on rejoicing, all right? I mean, he had it. He had found what he wanted. He had found what he was looking for. He knew it. God had done a work in him, and he didn't go, oh, well, it's good to be saved. Man, the Bible said he wanted to be rejoicing. He was happy. He was happy. Salvation made a difference in him and for him. Never was the same. I want to tell you this. I've been saved a long time, but I still get happy remembering the night I got saved. Still get happy remembering the night I got saved. What a joy it is to know you're on your way to heaven. Sins are forgiven. I've got it settled. I know my name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I know when I depart this life, I'll be with the Lord. In an instant. In an instant. Hey, Philip was raptured out of that desert, taken to a city and found him. All right? That's where they found him, the Bible said in verse 40, at Azotus. There he was. Hey, but that one man was left, that one man that got saved, he was shouting about it, buddy. He was forever more happy. Why? Because he had gotten saved. He got saved. Just think about it a little bit. How happy does your salvation make you? I just wonder about people that say, yeah, I'm saved. Now, look, I know we can all have a bad day. You know, my brother sometimes gets up here leading singing and said, all right, now you're not doing what the song says. Song says rejoicing. Y'all look like you're all mad and everything. All right, now, I realize some of you would say, well, I can't sing and smile at the same time. Well, Dennis Lockhart could. He could always sing and smile at the same time. But I'll say this. Okay, you can't smile, but do you have to look like you're mad? You could at least have a pleasant look on your face. Say, well, I had some tough time this morning at the house. Well, you're not at the house anymore. You're at the house of God. Man, I'm just telling you. Just telling you. Here's that one man that had been saved. He was excited about it. He was happy about it. I think he went shouting on his way, all right? Why? Because God did something for him. Man, I don't know what you got when you got saved. But boy, it is a blessing to know that I don't have to face that sin. I don't have to face that sin. I'm not going to have to stand before God and give an account for the sins I've committed. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Man, they're taken care of. Now, I confess that it's hard for you and I to grasp, because we don't do what God does. When people offend us, when people wrong us, they may come and say, I want you to forgive me. And, okay, I'll forgive you. But we don't forget it. We don't forget it. And because we're humans. Now, we may not always just say, I'm just waiting for you to do it again. But there's always in the back of our mind, are you fixing to do that again? It's just in us. It's hard for us to grasp. But you mark it down, if you're saved, your sins are forgiven. The Bible said they're under the blood. The Lord Jesus, our God, does not see us as a sinner anymore. We are wrapped in the righteousness of His Son. His Son. And when He sees us, He sees His Son's righteousness. I've illustrated it before. I've had a child come up to the platform and taken off my coat and put it on that child. And I'd say, does it fit? And everybody'd say, well, of course not. Well, His righteousness doesn't fit on us. But His righteousness does for us what my coat did for that child. It covered him. We're covered in the righteousness of our God. Our Savior. Hey, you just think about that a little bit. That'll make you happier than a cowboy winning the Super Bowl, all right? That'll make you happier. Brother Opdahl was rooting for the Packers, all right? He's from up in that country, and he's rooting for the Packers. But, hey, it'd make him happier. Born again. Sins are forgiven. On the way to heaven. I've got a new family. I'm in the family of God. I've got a new destination. I've got a new home. It's in heaven. I'm just sojourning here. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this world. Why? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Hey, that's something to get excited about. Yeah, but preacher, my car broke down this week. But I'm still saved. You're saved. You're still saved. Preacher, got some bad news from the doctor. You may have, but if you're saved, you're still saved. You're still saved. Hey, I'm telling you, that one man went on shouting. He was happy. Can I just say this one last thing? That one man, just one man, sure made a difference. Sure made a difference. How do you figure that, preacher? I believe that history bears this out. Work continued long after Philip left. Ethiopia had a Christian emperor as late as 1939. Had a fellow there by the name of Haile Selassie. Christian. Why? Because that Ethiopian, one reason why, that Ethiopian eunuch went home and told everybody. But it's just one man that started it. But that one man made a difference. One man made a difference. Boy, can I just wind this up this way? One man can make a difference. Folks need guidance for salvation. Folks need guidance. They need somebody to tell them. This guy, this Ethiopian, was reading in the Bible. I believe he's under conviction. Under conviction. Holy Spirit was dealing with him. You with me? But he was there and he needed somebody to guide him. To let him know, hey, do you ever think that you could be that one that somebody needs? Hey, just stop and consider, what if Philip, when the Spirit of God came to him there in verse 26 and said, rise, go toward the south. I don't want to. You say, well, he couldn't have done that. Sure he could have. He has a free will just like you do. When God speaks to you there, sometimes you go, I don't want to. And you miss out. You miss out. Philip went down there. Phillip's the only guy, first guy we know of that was transported like that. Comes up out of the water, he's gone. Finds him in another city. I'm going to tell you, Philip had a story to tell the rest of his life. Philip had a story to tell the rest of his life. But he had an even better story he had already been telling. He's preaching Jesus. Just one man. Hey, folks need guidance to salvation. Could you be that one? Well, preacher, I'm not sure I know how to do it. Well, don't you think you ought to learn? Don't you think you ought to learn? Don't you think you ought to come up and be able to tell somebody how to get to heaven? I mean scriptural things. Not, well, just believe in Jesus. No, scriptural things. You ought to be able to tell them. You ought to do it. Hey, you ought to be able to do it. Maybe you're that one. You're just that one person. And there's somebody out there searching, and God's going to make y'all's paths cross. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. Well, preacher, I'm just one. That's all it takes, one. That's all it takes, one. That's all it takes, just that one. Can I say this to you? If you're that one that's born again, you ought to be happy you're saved. And that happiness ought to bubble out every now and then. You shouldn't keep it in so much, all right? Salvation is expected to change the new believer. Man, it's to be a change when you get saved. Hey, what happened to you? I got saved. Got saved. Preacher, why are you the way you are? I don't know. I got saved. And I say it this way, I got all the way saved, okay? I didn't get a little bit, I got it all. Now, you did too, but some of you keeping it hid, all right? Well, wait a minute, maybe you're here this morning, the truth of the matter is you never have been born again. You may have been ducked in the baptistry sometime. You may have been sprinkled. You may have gone through some kind of process, maybe confirmation or whatever, I don't know. Maybe you did something, you know. But truth of the matter is you never have been born again. You never have personally put your faith and your trust and called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. You ought to be able to put your finger on the day in your life and say, I remember the day I got saved. I remember the day I got saved. I can tell you where I was. Tell you where I was, tell you what was going on. Tell you, I'll tell you this, for me, First Baptist Church at Tice, Florida, Sunday night service, preacher preached. My dad was a preacher. What did he preach on? The platform. Don't remember one thing he said, because I was already under conviction. I'd been under conviction for 2 or 3 weeks. Seems like 6 months, looking back on it. But I'd been under conviction for weeks. I don't tell you, that night, 5800 not Denton Highway, literally 5800 Palm Beach Boulevard, Tice, Florida. That's where I was born again. I remember I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Hey, I don't ask you where did it happen. Where did it happen? Where were you when you got saved? Preacher, I don't know. I just kind of feel like I've always believed in God. Whoa, wait a minute. The Bible said the devils believe. You're no better than the devil if all you do is believe in God. But when was that time you personally, you called on Him? Ask Him to save your soul. When did you do that? See, it's one at a time. I said one man was sent, one man was searching, and one man got saved. It happens one at a time. Don't go through this life and pass up that one time for you. Don't count on some, you know, well, I was driving along in the car, man, we had this terrible accident, and I was just, my life passed before me, I was just that close to getting killed.
That's not salvation. Not salvation. The Bible says it's a new birth. New birth. Has it happened to you? If it hadn't, would you make this the day? Would you make this the place? And would you make it right now? Would you decide, hey, I want to get born again. I want to trust Christ. I want to trust Him. You could. You said, well, it's embarrassing. Nobody would be embarrassed. I've been standing up here bragging on Jesus for 35 minutes or so, all right? Nobody here, anybody here saved is going to be happy you got saved. Nobody here is going to say, I knew it, that dirty, rotten, wicked sinner. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to say that. They're going to rejoice. The only reason you got that feeling of, well, I'm embarrassed, that's the devil talking to you. Would you do me a favor and quit listening to him? And listen to that still, small voice that's pleading with you today to trust Christ. Trust him. Hey, that preacher's preaching the truth. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. Would you do it today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We've heard about that one man that was sent down there to find that one man was searching so that one man could get saved. Lord, I believe there's somebody here needs to get saved. I believe there's somebody here this morning needs to trust you as their Savior.